Blog Talk Radio.
The 23rd of November, it is a holiday week, of course, of Thanksgiving around the corner, and there's a lot going on. There's two items that I definitely want to mention, really, even before we get started, that I wanted to discuss and talk about. If you're listening on the line, of course, you can call in 646-652-4479, and thanks for all that are listening who might still be at work or about to go to work or you're out and about. And you're listening to this show on your tablet and or your smartphone. Let's go ahead and do the show topic for tonight. Man, oh man, what is really going on with Atlanta sports? Is it time to panic? Now, before I get started, one thing I do want to talk about is the absence of Tiago Splitter tomorrow and also Bazemore and the fine that Coach Bud got, $25,000 for supposedly hitting an official. Let me stop. The state of Atlanta has always had a cloud over it, like Pigpen. Y'all know who Pigpen is from Charlie Brown, right? But in the last few years, both the Hawks and the Falcons have had success that put them in the spotlight for the first time in many decades. The Falcons, of course, never had back-to-back winning seasons forever until very recently. But, of course, until the past two seasons, they've had over 6 years of pretty good success, right? Getting to the playoffs, being highly competitive, being fun, right? Fans paying attention, right? The Atlanta Hawks, on the other hand, they've been to the playoffs now for, I believe, 8 years in a row. They've won a division last year. They got the top seed in the Eastern Conference last year. They had a Coach of the Year last year. Four players made the All-Star team. We have new uniforms now. We even have new fans. We have even a stronger attachment to the players in the community. However, the last few weeks have not been that nice, have they? We've seen some issues, right? Makes us a little worried about, you know, what's really going on. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the last few weeks. Of course, we know the schedule for the Hawks has been horrendous, okay? However, there are certain things that schedule shouldn't affect that much. We'll talk about that. Tune in, call in, listen in. Again, the number, if you are listening, you want to talk, 646-652-4479. Looks like we already have a caller, so we're going to go ahead and let them in. All right, caller, welcome to the show. Go ahead and announce yourself and where you're calling from.
My name is Sandra, and I'm in Atlanta.
Hi, how are you doing tonight, Sandra?
I'm doing fine. I told you I would be here.
I appreciate that. Actually, that's my mom's name, too. So I almost was like, is my mom calling into the show? So let me go ahead and get your take on things. You know, my primary topics tonight are, of course, our Atlanta teams, the Atlanta Hawks and the Atlanta Falcons. But I'm pretty sure you want to talk about the Atlanta Hawks. So what are your feelings in regards to, well, actually, I think you want to talk about both probably, so from what you mentioned earlier. So go ahead and you give me your take on what's going on. First of all, let's go with the Falcons because they just played yesterday And, yeah, go ahead.
Personally, I've been an Atlanta sports fan since both teams came to town. So I've seen the ups and downs of both teams, the good and the bad and the ugly. Personally, this season, I was hoping for an 8-8 season for the Falcons, mainly because new coach, and we obviously had some issues on defense and offensive as well. Even though we had some offensive weapons, we had problems with our O-line. From a defensive standpoint, I don't think we've had a real linebacker in years. So there are a couple of issues here. So the fact that they started out 5-0, I think got a lot of people jazzed and excited, which is a good thing. But I think people actually felt that we were going to go to the Super Bowl and win it, which is still possible, mathematically speaking. But realistically speaking, I just felt we still had too many issues to make it through a 16-game season with more than an 8-8 record. I'm hoping I'm wrong and that we can win more than 8 games. But I see this as a building year for a new coach, a new offensive scheme, and some other things that the team is doing. I think sometimes today people live in a microwave era, so they want instant success. So any success makes them jump on the bandwagon, and they assume that success will continue, not realizing that there's still issues with a team.
Well, and each and every single one of those points is definitely valid, and really 8-8 definitely just from the last 2 years was just going to be something, you know, reasonable, really, because of the things you mentioned. You know, the offensive line we knew was atrocious. You know, the defense we knew was a bottom feeder. But coming in with as a, you know, defensive-minded person from a Super Bowl, back-to-back Super Bowl team, we figured that the defense would definitely show improvement probably the quickest. What we didn't anticipate was that somehow or another, going right into the end of the preseason, the offensive line actually was decent, which was like a miracle in itself. And then the defense, of course, they did their turnaround. Of course, they're in the top 10 in defense as far as run defense in football right now.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that was like a nice little, you know, plus and extra. And then you had this offense that was just, you know, dominating people. So definitely that 5-0 start, yeah, I would say definitely probably spoiled some people who probably just didn't see the Fairweather fan, they just see 5-0 and whatnot. However, it was a matter of, I don't think people could see this crash down because of one person, because really I have to look at Matt right now as the person, because it's not the defense. For once, we can't blame the defense. I never thought we'd ever say that anytime soon, but we can't look at the defense anymore. When you're talking about turnovers, again, when you're talking about that ratio as far as how many turnovers can you get away with in an NFL game with NFL teams being involved, it's too much to overcome. It's just too much right now, and it's Matt. You know, you take one interception away and they win the game. Right.
And I agree with that. But my issue with the offense, including the quarterback, is that if you notice in some of the games we've had recently, the last 5 games, that I personally, as a fan, I think when he's allowed to run his game, be it the no huddle or whatever people want to call it, we tend to score well, and we tend to score several scores. And I think when it goes back to where our OC, I personally as a fan was not overly impressed when Kyle Shanahan was selected. I personally feel that he is a quarterback killer. I personally feel that his offense is easily figured out by opposing teams, and I don't see him as being as creative as he should be with the offensive weapons that we have. So, yes, some of it is Matt. Yes, he's the one throwing the interceptions and several other things. But some of it I do feel is what's being called by the coordinator. We had a couple of games where we had problems. you know, problems with snap from center and some other issues that cause fumbles. And so, yeah, so I'm not holding anyone on the team blameless. But I do notice that we had 21 points in the first half, and then we come out and we lost Freeman, which I know that they had to adjust to that because that was part of our offense. But I also think there's a disconnect between our quarterback and our OC. I've been watching that from the beginning. This is the first season I've ever seen him play where he looks out of sync. Yes, with mistakes. He has never made this many mistakes. So he's not blameless. So I'm not trying to put it all on one thing, but that was a big change for him, getting a new OC as well.
Well, let me say this, because Matt is my number one issue, but the OC is a close second. I've already asked for him to get fired myself personally. I know no one's listening, but he needs to go, because that is my other point. There's too many times where you have drives basically get stymied, stagnant, and destroyed because of offensive coordinator's player. I don't even like to call him by his name, because I don't know how he keeps getting jobs. You see what I'm saying? And it's just frustrating.
I totally agree.
I'm looking at it from this standpoint alone. Matt had 4,000 yards last year with nobody, and now it's like I was watching Invasion of the Body Snatchers the other day, and it's like someone has snatched Matt Ryan from us. I don't know what it is, but
it's
unnerving to go from how is he going from, you know, no huddle, and we're just moving the ball left and right, no one can stop us, and then all of a sudden, again, I know we have a new coach in Mr. Quinn and everything, but is he giving the okay to all of a sudden just stop that when we're being successful with something and then go to something that's obviously unsuccessful? That's what makes me mad. That's what makes me mad more than anything else. All the other stuff, I care less. I don't even care about the interception, truth be told. I just don't understand how all of a sudden you're throwing in the end zone when you should be running the ball in the end zone when we have free. You see, remember some of these plays from the weeks ago? And that's why we're on this streak we're on. And again, it's scary to me. And we're 6-4. And like I said, I messed around the other day. I said, you know what, we could win out and still be 12-4 and still hopefully, you know, because right now it don't look like the Panthers are going to lose anytime soon. You know, someone was talking about the Dallas Cowboys are going to beat them. And I commented to him. I was like, man, being delirious must be fun, you know.
And I agree with that. Yep, I agree with that. I agree with everything you just said. It is. It's as if he's not the person he was. And, you know, and I'm not trying to imply that, you know, he's a gunslinger, but he can be. And like you said, even the two seasons that we've had that we were not playing well, he just does not look like himself. And the biggest change that has happened from his standpoint is the change in the coordinator and the relationship and whether they're in sync as quarterback and coordinator, Jermaine.
Exactly. The Atlanta Hawks, Sandra, do you have a specific? Okay, I was going to ease into it, but go ahead.
My Hawks. I am not panicking yet. Like football, which has only a 16-game season, so you don't have a lot of time to, excuse my French, screw up and get it right. It's an 82-game season. Sometimes you can almost play above yourself in the sense that I think last season it was almost everything we touched turned into magic to a certain extent, and I think that's an adjustment maybe psychologically with our team, that now people are coming for us as opposed to us going after people and trying to show that we are capable. Now people are coming after us. They saw what we could do. They saw the 60-game season, the coach of the year, the 4 All-Stars, and all of that. And they want to topple us. I think that's a lot of it for us. And it's how do we respond to that? How do we take that next step, suck it up, and say, okay, they're coming for us, let them come for us, and we're going to show them when they come they better bring their A game all of the time. And I just think right now, for some of them, I don't know if they've gotten that in their head that they're the new kid on the block, and they're the ones people want to come after. And we've never been that team that people have come after. We're the team that's always chasing after.
Now, that's a good point. That's a good point. But the only thing with that is that's coaching then, because Bud, of all people, should know that from being in San Antonio all those years. So it can't it can't be that, hopefully. But, and especially when you have veterans on the team, like you have an Al, you have a Paul, you have Kyle Korver, and, yeah, they haven't been on the upper echelon, you know, in the past and whatnot, but the last 8 years in a row, the Hawks have been in the playoffs. So it's not like they've been Minnesota or anything. You know what I'm saying? And they have experience in, you know, well, at least Al does and a couple other players playing the Celtics from back in the day and things of that nature. Some of them from other teams have, you know, in different series. So, but, yes, it is different from the Eastern Conference standpoint. And this is the league itself, because, you know, the Hawks embarrassed a lot of people last year at the end of the day. You know?
Exactly. They lost to the Hawks. I mean, come on.
You know,
they lost to the Hawks.
You know, and they won the games last year, but we all know if it wasn't for injuries and sitting out, people probably would have hit 68 games too, you know. But my problem with that, again, is the Hawks players as a whole should be taking it real personal that people still disrespect them, don't believe that the Hawks will even make the playoffs for the most part, definitely ain't winning the division, you know what I'm saying, didn't deserve any of the accolades from last year, so you would think that proverbial chip would be on their shoulder. You know, and being able to prove a point that this was not a fluke, we're going to do it again, and that Cleveland game was the first game that we really could have had an opportunity to really prove that point and failed miserably to do that, and it looked really scarily bad. And again, and I only want to get into the, you know, lineups and things of that nature. You know, I'll do it later in the show, but it's just a matter of the effort, and I'm just looking at, for all the games to have a 4-for-12 night, Al Horford, that would have been the night to do it. Paul, with all his sequences and things of that nature, that wasn't the night to not be Trill Sap, not be the anchor. You know, that was not the night to be the flyweight. You see what I'm saying? And, of course, Jeff is coming off, you know, injury and whatnot. We didn't have Bays, okay, cool, and everything like that. Yeah. But you still have all these other players that are supposed to make our bench so much deeper. And, you know, again, some of it is this, how is J.R. Smith just shooting over y'all? Can he foul him? You know, just kick him in the stomach, something, anybody, you know?
Because
that's what he likes to do. And then, you know, he got Tristan, you know, the rebounding. It is, I don't like it. I don't like just the effort part of it. You know, like I said before, earlier on the Atlanta Hawks Facebook page, shout out to Carlos in the game, but I don't mind getting beat because the other team is simply better than you. But I do mind if you just not put the effort, and that's why you get beat, because that's the difference, you know.
And I agree. It's. I mean, it even goes back to when we were talking about the Falcons. It's the level of consistency that we're not getting. You know, like the previous game when Paul, I mean, he took over, and we're not getting that on consistently. That somebody is taking over, like you said, Al that night. You know, somebody needed to take over and rally the troops, for want of a better phrase. And and that just didn't happen. And the fact that, you know, Bud was ejected, then that should have really, that should have pissed them off over that crappy ejection and say, hey, we need to stop trying to wait for the refs to do this or call that. It's not going to happen. We are out here on our own. No one wants us here. We're here. We know we can be here because we've already done it. So we need to just do it. I'm not trying to talk about another team, but I think that's the thing about Golden State. Yes, they're a very good team, but it's the attitude they play with. The attitude they have, you're going to have to beat us. You're going to have to beat us. We may lose, but you're gonna have to beat us to make us.
It's mentality, and putting ourselves in a position where the refs do have a choice to end the game for us or whatnot. If you don't start off so slow, that never comes into play. And one of the things, and I wish that Al, you know what, I need to see if I can get him on the line one day. Because, well, I'm actually working on that. I was supposed to slip that out, but I'm working on that with some people at the Hawks anyway. But every time there's one of those shots he should have made, but he didn't, he claps his hands. Like, oh, man. You see, I play every Sunday night, and it's cool for us as, you know, the gym rats or whatnot, and our veterans who've been playing for 20 years, we play that once-a-week game, to be like, my bad, shot, whatever. But NBA, you're making millions of dollars. Just get that back down the court. Jeff, with his dejection of him blowing one of his, you know, layups, floaters, whatever, right? And his head, and you know, he's down. He jerks it like, oh man, I don't believe I missed that. Waving his hands in the air. Dennis has kind of had that a little bit too. And then Kyle with his turnovers, you know, I don't know what he'd be doing sometimes. I don't know, but. Is that right there? Is it so noticeable? I know it ain't just me noticing it. So it's like, I wish that Bud could get to them and be like, yo, I don't care. Shoot and miss, but shoot and miss with confidence or something. Because Steph Curry will shoot 70 times a game if someone lets him. Okay? Literally.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he might shoot 69. I mean, come on.
And I just want to I want to see something of that from last year. Again, it's slow. You know, the team didn't do that. You know, wasn't that hot going until they hit December. But I just want to see that same attitude at least going into this December. It's a different year. But right now, I'm seeing something from 3 years ago, and that's not good.
Yeah, they don't. There's no fire, or I'm just not feeling it, if that makes sense, from the standpoint, like we said, they never get pissed off. You need to get angry. I mean, we need to be angry because not only did we, you know, people didn't respect us last season, everybody said it was a fluke. I mean, they should put that word up in the locker room. They said we are a fluke or something. Come on, because people doubt it. It's like, oh, okay, you know, every now and then something good can happen, but this is not real for the Atlanta Hawks. They're going to go back to being who they were. You just wait one season, you know. And because I'm one of those people, I don't pay attention to Barkley, ESPN, and all these other people. But players hear that stuff. You should listen to it. If your ego, if you have any sort of ego, you want to make them eat those words. You just do.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I'm going to say, I never thought I would say this, but I do like hockey too. We need somebody out there with a hockey mentality. We need somebody out there who want to check, slam them into the board, not literally, but the mentality of doing that, where you're draining your shots, where you're rebounding, where you're doing the things that you need to do to win. And you might, like you said, you might still lose, but you need attitude. And I'm not saying the attitude. The thing about both our teams, that we're talking about both of them, we're too friggin' nice. We have no killer instinct, especially on our football team. We don't have that killer. We get them down. We let them up. We don't keep our foot on their necks. We do it with both of our teams. And I'm not sure what we can do about that. I know Atlanta is supposed to be the city too busy to hate, but sometimes I think it carries over to our team.
Well, I'll tell you like this, and I'm going to let you go because I got another caller. When Al got hit in the face, he should have retaliated. I don't care. I mean, because at the end of the day, okay, the refs did, but the guy still got suspended again. Oh, it was Boogie Cousins. That's right. So at that point, that was the aha moment to where, you know what, he going to learn, needs to actually take action. Because he said that last year about Dele, and he had a chance. Somebody had a chance to kick him in the face, and no one did it. The whole game went by, and no one did nothing. And I'm just like, you know what? This is not cool because y'all should do it just for the fact that y'all they're beating y'all to death. Someone needs to just take him out now. And I'm going to leave you like this. Edie needs to come in, and I'm sorry. He needs to be watching some old Dennis Rodman stuff or something. Because maybe that's why Bud ain't been playing him. He just had him in the dark room just watching Dennis Rodman highlights for the last 15 years. And when he gets his real minutes, you know, because, again, I'm looking at Porzingis, I'm looking at Whiteside, I'm looking at all these other tall guys in the league getting minutes or whatnot, and not even getting a lot of minutes. Like, Whiteside still ain't playing 30 minutes a game, and he's still getting 6-7 blocks a night. He's leading the league with almost 5 blocks a game. I'm sorry. Sometimes when you're tall, you're just doggone tall. Why ain't he playing? He could be helping us. So I'm going to leave it like that, but you're definitely right. The attitude is not good. And I just want – I'm hoping that certain people get to hear this particular show because these are, like I said, this is fan-based more purely than any other show that might be in Atlanta, no bias or anything. This is Atlanta Hawks. This is Atlanta Falcons. This is UGA. This is Georgia everything. And if we did have a hockey team again, we would be talking hockey. I like the hockey team being here, okay? So, Sandra, I definitely appreciate your input and thoughts about our teams, and just we're just hoping that we have a very successful seasons. We'll talk about the Braves in 2017. But again, thank you for calling in. Let other people know about the show, okay? I do appreciate
it. Okay, I will. All right, thank you. See you
on. Uh-oh, well, I had to let it go. Hey, everyone, that was Ms. Sandra Poole from the ATL representing our Atlanta Hawks and Atlanta Falcons. She gave a lot of good insight on her end. She's been a fan for a long time. And again, when you're a fan, you want to be endeared to your team, and we do, as fans, kind of deserve certain a certain level of what's the word? Man, passion, I guess you can say. You know, because again, we are the ones watching it on TV. We are the ones listening to it on the radio. We are the ones showing up at the games. We are the ones buying the paraphernalia from the team and going to the Georgia Dome and buying $15 pizzas and things of this nature, you know. So we just want people to play hard all the way through, being consistent. Same thing with Phillips Arena. You know, we get that Coca-Cola, and we get those Krispy Kreme donuts and whatever else they got out there. We just want to know that we're going to get a good night. It's an entertainment night, but we still kind of want to try to win. And sometimes when you don't see that people are trying to win, it's like, well, why are we here? You know, this is not 1999 anymore, right? It was a horrible year, by the way, y'all, okay? And we have new players, and they're being integrated slowly and surely, but some of them might be a little bit too slow. We'll talk about that later. But there's just a lot of these nights, these slow starts, that's, again, I don't understand that. That should not be possible with a team that did so well last year. So 646-652-4479 is the number. I am getting some announcements that some people are actually at work, but I appreciate you hitting me back. Some people are just getting off of work. So that's why tonight's show, I was able to start a little bit earlier than usual. So we'll see if we were able to get some of our regular listeners in on the show tonight. I am planning to do a day show in the near future. I can't tell you when that will be. We'll figure it out after the holiday. And I might actually start doing two shows in a week. So we'll see how that works. Again, if you are listening, you can call in 646-652-4479. Of course, I have forgotten to open up the chat room. And I'm going to go ahead and do that now. Again, let's give a nice hand. You know what? I forgot to do that, too. I'm so busy. It's horrible. This is why I need a co-host. That's what I really need a co-host for. You have a good call. She really brought out some points that I was going to mention anyway about being fans and just the things that we are observing as fans, seeing stuff that's happening on the court and on the field. But it really kind of goes back into that passion, that fire. And too many others, again, she used Golden State. I mean, you watch those games, they're 15-0 for a reason, okay? They might not lose a game at this rate. Like, who's going to beat them? Who's going to beat them? You know, who dares beat Golden State? And we remember that the cartoon movie from the Bleacher Report. Do I need to find that and post that up? 646-652-4479 is the number. Go ahead and take a break. Please call in. I saw one caller, a couple of callers. I know y'all faded out. I was going to get to y'all, but call back in. We'll be here for a while. It's just 11 o'clock, but we're going to take the first break of the night. Black Friday. If you're going to spend money, make sure you spend it on small businesses. I have a small business that helps people who are trying to start their own business okay, or if they already have a business, to get help with their business, whether it be helping the process of getting a business permit and a business license to a business plan getting created, to a website getting created, to advertising and marketing. Do you know that the average person can start their own company for $500 or less and get everything that they need to actually be in business for themselves? So if you know you have a skill or ability that you can actually make money off of and you just don't know how to do it, that's why you need Innovative Enterprises to help you out. You can visit the website, innovativeenterprises.com. That's one E in the middle, not two E's, just one E. And innovativeenterprises.com will pull up. You can also call 305-204-1826. There is a special consulting package that you can also get to have someone, if you need help with advice about your business, you need help with looking over documentation that you already have for something or an agreement and whatnot, it's $10 a month. Who can't afford $10 a month? There's a $50 one-time activation fee for it, and you can have Innovative Enterprises with you all the time, okay? So check it out. Go to the website, innovativeenterprises.com. That's one E in the middle. Or you can call 305-204-1826. There are several specials for Black Friday in regards to websites, logo design, business plan creation, article creation. Maybe you don't have anything on the internet printed about you. You need something that when people Google you that will show up that you're doing something, right? That would be great. There's some specials on that too. So be sure to call or go to the website. Check them out. We're going to play a song by Chris Pribham. I always like to open up with this particular song because I like it. I haven't had time to write to it yet, but I'm going to. It's called Emperor's Chris Pribham, Illit Records. Go to illit.com, another shout-out, ill-it.com. Check him out. He's a producer. He does a lot of stuff within the industry and corporate. So if you really need music and you're serious, that's the person you need to hit up. You can hit him up on Twitter, Chris Pribham, on Twitter, Chris P-R-Y-H-T-H-M, Pribham. There you go. All right, this is Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio. Be right back. everyone. This is Chris, IMTM Worldwide Radio. We are back on the air. November 23rd, this is a holiday week, of course. Thanksgiving is right around the corner. Not sure we have much to be thankful for right now after yesterday and the day before that with the Atlanta Hawks and the Atlanta Falcons didn't go so well. Let me go ahead and bring up this particular topic. We have several players that are injured for the Atlanta Hawks right now. So we have Baze that is out again. We have Jeff coming back from an ankle injury. Tiago Splitter is not going to play. So with these players not playing and not right, is this the time when THJ and Mr. Tavares is going to actually play? And if not, what could be the actual reason for that at this point? Because one of the things about having a deep bench is that the bench actually plays, okay? And there is just no level of intelligence that can tell me that Tim Hardaway Jr. is just such a dunce at everything that he can't get on the court. And no one can tell me that he's such a discipline problem that he could be in someone's doghouse to not play after we gave up a draft pick for him. And no one can tell me that anybody is that so uncoordinated that they can't get right on the NBA court when they have played a season overseas, they played summer league, they played training camp, and now he can't play at all of a sudden. When I see all these other 7-foot-plus people around the league doing stuff, I'm not cool with that. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more, but go ahead and bring in the next caller. Oh, almost got tongue-tied there. Welcome to the show, caller. Go ahead and announce yourself and where you're calling from. Hello, caller. You're live on the air.
What's going on, my man?
Oh, we have a little bit of difficulty hearing you right now.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Perfect.
Hey, what's going on, man? It's George Clark, man. We was talking about the same thing yesterday, my man.
Hey, George, how you doing, man? Sure was. Go ahead and get us started. Which team do you want to go ahead and talk about tonight? Are we talking about the Hawks or the Falcons?
Oh, I got to talk about the Hawks, my man.
Good.
I'm like you, man. I mean, I've been racking my brains, man, trying to figure this one out. Okay, you got a guy who literally beat us by himself last year, and he's not getting no kind of PT whatsoever. I think what throws me off so much is, look, if you're going to say the guy can't learn to play, the guy's bad on defense, nothing can be worse than what we're seeing right now. And another thing that I'm getting tired of people saying is, hey, our record is the same as it was last year. Yeah, but we're not playing the same way as we played last year. We're playing totally different, man. I'm going to tell you, I've watched every game, and I'm a season ticket holder, so let me go ahead and put that out there.
There you go.
And that's where my frustration is coming from, man. I almost did not go to the game I think it was Tuesday, when they had a bad storm. But I went when they played Sacramento. But I've gotten to the point, man, where I'm just, you know, I don't have that feeling where, okay, we're not going to worry about the second half. We're a second half team. I don't have that feeling no more. It seems like we kind of reverted back to the old Hawks, you know, where we build up a lead and we lose it. That's the feeling
Larry
I'm getting right now, man.
Very true. It's all the imprint. It's almost like I got to throw out my Star Wars nuggets. It's almost like the dark side is back. Is this an imprint there that did, for some reason, I don't know when it happened, but it's scary that, you know, last year, all those games, you just knew the Hawks were going to win. You just knew somehow, some way, they're going to figure it out. There was no doubt.
Yeah.
And even if it did lose, it was a good effort. And, oh, well, hey, they lost. Oh, well, so let's snap the fingers and go to the next one. This year, we're not in any of the games as far as I'm concerned.
Man. And the ones that we won, man, we barely beat the teams, man. And I didn't feel good about them. So here's my thing. We have established an identity over the last 2 years, which is one thing about the Atlanta Hawks is they're going to play hard. They're going to finish games no matter how big the lead. Beforehand, we had an identity, but it wasn't a good one. Everybody like, you don't know what Hawks team you're going to get. This is, we went back to that, man. That's what ticked me off, man.
And the thing about that is that's the team before Junkyard, before, you know, a lot of our players are here now, before Mike Scott, before all those guys. So it's like, how do you go back 3 years? How do you revert back that far? You see what I'm saying? That's scary to me. And it's a worrisome thing. We're about to play some, like, really hard teams coming up soon.
Exactly.
And all the teams in the East are now competitive except for the Nets and, you know, they're, you know, oh, well, about them. And then, of course, Philadelphia. I mean, and see, I'm so mad about Philadelphia not beating Miami that night. I watched that game because I got the NBA ticket. And so now it's like, I don't know when we play Philly. I should have checked the schedule, but I'm scared now. We might be that team. It could easily
be us. Let me tell you something, man. Miami barely squeaked by them tonight, but they beat New York pretty good tonight. And now they got a full game on us right now. It's like we went from number one to number five in less than a week. And
well,
it's
actually,
like,
we're six.
Because we're tied with Toronto, right?
Oh, well, yeah, well, they're top. Yeah, okay, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, we're tied with Toronto. They got us 5-6. But the fact of the matter is, man, the teams that are in the Eastern Conference or even in our division, these guys are winning by large margins, man. And we're barely getting by teams. I don't care what nobody say, man. These guys are looking at teams' records and they're looking past them. And it's not like it was last year. I don't think we're not missing Junkyard Dog that much to where it's like this here. But he brought something to the table. But I think Bazemore can fill that spot. And that's who I think we're missing over these last few games, man.
It's not Bazemore, though, because really everybody else is here. Bazemore is practically a new player with him starting.
Mm-hmm.
So it can't be him. So, you know, again, you know, Paul is getting his numbers. Okay, cool, but he didn't get them the other night. Al, you know, I don't know what happened in Cleveland, but that was just ridiculous. He also, you know, he's coming off an injury, but I'm like, shoot, you might as well just have sat him for that game, too, and let Matt get in there, you know, whatever, whatever. You know, right now, everybody's snapping on Kyle right now as much as they humanly possibly can, which means everybody else has a little bit more pressure to definitely hit their shot. So for me, it's like, okay, so we're not going to play THJ, apparently. So he's the other shooter other than Kyle that's on our team, since we don't got John Jenkins no more filling it up, okay? So we don't have that. And, you know, Seth technically is probably better coming off the bench, as we obviously saw that. So the other thing that, again, last year, okay, we got out-rebounded most of the time, but when we played all the other aspects of our game well, the rebound didn't come into play. When one or two aspects is not going well and you're not rebounding, that's an issue. And the one thing that could probably help is Mr. Tavares, but he's sitting on the bench too because, you know, Thiago Splitter ain't did just for me all year long. I'm sorry, San Antonio, this is the Hawks. You got to contribute a little bit more than these four-point games and two-rebound games he'd be having.
Man,
because
let me tell you something, man.
At least our man, I know Miles Hubbard, he ain't listening to the show right now, but at least the man hit some threes. Well, you all know who we're talking about right here. Every now and again, he'll get a couple of threes in there.
I'll tell you what, man. Oh, you talking about the guy we let go, Perro?
Perro, the man, the legend.
Oh, my God. Hey, man, look, I know what you're saying on that, man. I can't defend him, man, but one thing about Thiago, I looked at him the other night, man, and this guy missed point-blank shots. Not only that, he was, if you 6'10", 6'11", ain't nothing you supposed to be doing but trying to break somebody's fingers when you that close to the basket. And I looked at the statistic the other night when the Hawks played Sacramento, Al Horford had one rebound. Al Horford used to be a 15-10 or 20-10 guy. You could just book that before the game started. He had one rebound. That means he's out there on that wing too much. I guess he's supposed to be taking Perro's spot. I don't know. But the bottom line is, if you're going to go out there on that wing, we need to bring in Walter Tavares in there, man, or something.
I didn't even think about that. That actually almost makes sense that someone got in his ear and was like, well, we got to stretch the floor a little bit more since we don't have that element anymore. But, I mean, doggone it, though. It wasn't like Peril was shooting 45% from three, though. And we had a lot of three-pointers that we hit last year without Peril. So why does Al believe he needs to do that? I'm not really sure, but
that does make sense now. And whatever's going on right now, this style right here is not working, because even when we were beating teams, we were literally beating them. We weren't squeaking by them. I mean, you remember we went on that West Coast trip and we came back like we lost one game. The only team that we did not beat last year in the entire NBA was the San Antonio Spurs. Everybody else we beat.
We destroyed
them. Only,
that's the only team we didn't beat. And that's what makes it so bad, because look who we've been beaten by over the last couple of weeks, and look at what our records is in conference, out of conference, West Coast, East Coast, and everything. We're going to even come close to matching that from a year ago. I mean, again, it's going to be, yeah, we're going to have a couple of win streaks that we're going to have to pull off. And again, it did happen last year around the same time, you know, but I don't like Hunger Games. Star Wars again. I vote for no confidence in how our team is playing right now. And again, like you said, Al not being in the post anymore as much as he used to. Giving up, you know, I mean, why can't Bud just, like, hear the numbers, guys? Like, for real? All y'all need to rebound.
I tell you, man, I don't know if he's just that stubborn or what, man, but I tell you, I'm sitting up here looking at it. I'm not a professional basketball player. I've been watching the game for a long time, and I'm sitting up here watching stuff. We're not going to get the calls that the average superstar gets. So what you got to do, put the onus on the referees. Go in there, like Paul said the other night, we got to go play like me and possess, but he wasn't doing that the next night. Go
that's
in there
saying,
hard,
why?
Make them calls.
And then don't own up to it. That's what got me really upset, for him to make that statement and then none of them back it up. It was just like Cleveland was just, I mean, again, you got Tristan Thompson, nobody put foot in Dele's face. You know what I'm saying? I'm like,
absolutely.
You got Anderson Varejao out there dominating y'all. Like, for real. Like, seriously. And I'm like, at a certain point, what could be worse? It can't get no worse. Why can't we see THJ and Edie just with a heck of it? It can't get no worse.
Try something else. That's my thing. Try something different, because what's going on right now is not working. We got a big 7'3 guy sitting on the bench. We got a guy who we know. No can create his own shot, but yet still, we don't have any ball movement whatsoever. The ball is just stuck on one side of the floor, and there's not any kind of movement whatsoever. And then the other night against Cleveland, we missed three layups in a row. Jeff, Tabo, and Paul Millsap missed three layups. And I'm like, this is ridiculous right here. And a lot of times when they go in there, Paul really kills me. He should be getting all these Smitty's under the rim type plays, because he goes up under, he throws up these shots, these flick the shots or whatever, instead of going in there knowing you can get up on the, knowing you can flush it, but you want to go in there and throw it under. You're not going to get those calls. You're not going to get them. That's what burns me up, man. I've been sitting up here, man. I'm surprised I ain't busted my TV yet, man.
Again, the whole thing about whether or not it's Bud being stubborn about not wanting to make some just really regular adjustments at this point, or it's a matter of not, you know, staying with his rotations and stuff like that. It's just a matter of tell us. The fans deserve to know why people ain't playing right now. Because if he ain't hurt.
Exactly.
You know, he ain't
I'll
on
tell
the
you another game.
You know.
You know that game in Brooklyn when we were down, the team that brought us back, he pulled him out. The guy that really did it was Moose. He pulled Moose out, and I think he put, Tiago back in there, somebody. But anyway, that particular team had brought us back, because remember, Brooklyn went up on us like 12 points. Then they came back, and then he pulled Moose out. My thing is this here. Go with the guys that brought you back, because, matter of fact, it was that. No, it was the Boston game. I take that back. It was Boston. He pulled Dennis out. And he pulled Moose out. That's when Jeff got hurt that game, And some people were saying Jeff was hurt. And I said, that's all the more reason why he shouldn't have been in the game. What happened? Next game, Jeff's T out because of an ankle. If he was hurt, why you put him back in there? Because between Holiday, Moose, and Dennis, they brought him back. He pulled all three of them. That right there killed me. So I put that one on him in Boston, too.
Because, you know, and it's what I'm worried about. It's like all the moves he made last year to become Coach of the Year is as if, you know, now maybe it is the hugest conspiracy ever. It's like it's translating not just to the players but the coaches too. Like, I don't know who it is who's pushing the buttons other than the referees. The referees can't affect the coach, you don't think. So it must be the front office of somewhere, you know, the league maybe. I don't know. But
man, I think
you can hold the whole team down like that. That's kind of scary. So it's like, if it's not conspiracy theory, what's the real problem there? Because again, I want to know. I deserve to know because again, we gave up too much to have THJ there not playing. Gave up way
too much.
That was
my whole point. That was my whole point. I said, it's not like we just brought in a D-leaguer. This is a guy you gave up your first round pick to. And all of a sudden, he hasn't seen not 1 minute of playing. I mean, not 1 minute of playing
time. 1 minute. Because at least Edie can say he has a couple of minutes in the NBA. THJ hasn't even gotten out his sweats yet.
He ain't sniffed the court. That's my thing. That's what gets me, man. This right here is puzzling to me. And like I say, man, we deserve to know. When you start talking about somebody who really deserves to know, well, I'm spending my money to go down here, and I want to see a guy, and I'm going to be. I'm actually one of the few people that was saying I like that move that night because I was telling people, I said, this guy here can bring it.
Because
he literally beat us by himself. And I'm like, I like the move, but where is he going? When is he going to play?
And again, with Edie, it's like, if he can't play that well, why even bring him back from overseas? Why not just keep him over there for another year if it was like that? Because if you weren't going to bring him in for a knee, like, why is he there? Because he is technically taking up space. You know, if he ain't ever going to play. But, you know, again, I go back to my stat. The Atlanta Hawks in 30 years have only drafted 6 centers in their history. And out of those 6 centers, we only have 1.5 who has actually played for our squad.
Wow.
Some of those centers, one of them happens to be Arvydas Sabonis. A lot of people don't know
really?
That. Yes, really.
That.
We had him. Okay. Portland Trailblazers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the greatest basketball players of all time. Okay. So as far as the post goes.
In the Hall of Fame. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Now, of course, another one is John Conkak. But anyway.
Oh, my God.
I don't know that, but the thing is, I guess, you know, we got people, you know, of course, last year, a lot of people, get on me about Afro and everything and how he hadn't really panned out or whatever, although I hear him in the D-League is cutting it up. But a part of this is development and whatnot and refusing to want to do it. Now, again, that was our franchise at the time and ownership and everything. But at this point, this man was drafted for one reason and one reason alone, to be a center in the NBA.
Now
he's half a step away, but he can't get on the court. Meanwhile, you got, you know, the Latvian Dirk Nowitzki out there in New York. You got old boy in Utah. You got Hassan over there in Miami, just blocking shots left and right.
He was killing them.
Like, why can't we
have
that?
That guy had a triple-double and 10 of them were blocks. That's what's crazy.
And it's like, even if Edie just starts off with just 2 blocks a game, guess what? That's 2 less field goals that the other team got.
He need to get his feet wet, man. He got to get his feet wet. Ain't nothing like real game time. That practice stuff going to
Exactly. And see, I play basketball every week. And for me, it's a matter of, you know what, sometimes block shots are not block shots. Sometimes they're deflections. Sometimes they're almost block shots because a person changes their mind because they see that hand in the air and they have to do something to get it over it. And even though it's not a block shot, you affected the course of the ball. That counts too. And then those rebounds. I'm sorry. I just don't believe that he's just going to give up 15 rebounds a night. Because that's what our differentiation is right now.
But
I think that will change if he's on the floor.
The other thing that bothered me the other night is when there were 3 Hawks players under the basket the other night, and Tristan Thompson, he didn't get the rebound. But what did he do? he jumped up and he tapped the ball to the, his other player. That was an offensive rebound. They get the ball. They go back up and they score. You had Al Horford, Paul Millsap, and Tabo right there. Nobody put a body on this guy. That's the whole thing.
So
you
know
this guy.
Let's talk about that. 646-652-4479 if you're listening, folks, call in. Join in, chime in about the Hawks. That's what we're talking about right now. So, again, coaching. I block out. Everybody else blocks out. Why can't NBA players block out? Because that's disturbing. I don't care. You don't got to be the tallest person on the floor to body someone. Curry did to Dwight Howard last year. Doggone it. Why can't the guards,
hey,
why can't the small forwards, why can't our power forwards not let one person out-rebound you every night?
Tristan Thompson is only 6'9", and he got that rebound over Al Horford because Al Horford did not put a body on him. And I'll tell
you
this here.
Wasn't even trying.
And last year, when they were in Cleveland, when they had a chance to win that game, that one rebound that he got and kicked out to LeBron, and LeBron hit that three, that was another one. Nobody boxed him out. All he did was grab the rebound and threw the ball to LeBron. And we had that game won. And I tell people to this day, had we won that game, that series would have went 7. Because once we lost that one, I said, this was sweet now. It would have went 7. Because we blew the game in Atlanta. We blew the first game in Atlanta. Anyway, we blew that.
Yeah.
Then you come back with losing in Cleveland. And I was saying the other night, man, I just hate how they just disrespect us. But we got to earn that. You up here proving.
And again,
Barkley,
that's why
right.
I was telling Sandra. That's why I was telling Sandra earlier. Is like that Cleveland game, because we only played Cleveland 3 times this year, for crying out loud, for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
So that one game right there would have been a great exclamation point to be like, you know what? Yeah, our season ain't gone. You know, we ain't been perfect, but we here. We've been kind of playing around with stuff. We've been experimenting. But for Cleveland, we got something for Cleveland. And Cleveland just made us look like we should be, like, not even in the playoffs this year. That's how they we look ordinary. And, again, a switch has to be turned on or something has to happen soon. I mean, I even threw it out there. I was like, well, maybe it's time to, even though it's a little bit earlier than I wanted it to happen, Kyle needs to go on the bench. We got to start someone else. We got to do it because if the league is really going to clamp down on Kyle like they have been, he can't do that. I mean, even though he has gotten better coming off the dribble, he actually has been doing some dribble drives. I've been noticing he's been doing it. But his bread and butter is behind the three-point line. That's where we need him. But if he can't
coming
get open because people are triple-teaming him, literally, people are triple-teaming him. It ain't his fault. People are just D-ing him
up. Yeah. They zone in on him. You can look at just about every game it was last year. There were people nowhere within 5 feet of Kyle Korver. You give him that kind of space, he will knock it down every time. But
right now,
guys are grabbing his jersey. The coaches have told him, do not let this guy catch the ball. And if he don't catch it, he's done because he can't create his own shot. And that's why I'll tell people, Damari, everything you got from him was a plus on the scoring side because he can't create his own shot. His shots came from people zoning in on Kyle Korver, everybody else. He was just the extra man. He was wide open. That's how he got. Damari Carroll got his contract off of that Brooklyn series. That's how he got that
pretty
contract.
Much.
If they'd have went off his numbers in the regular season, he'd have been $9 million max.
Yeah.
So I don't blame the man for taking the money.
But see,
But
look, listen, it comes back down to the system again. So
that's what he benefited from.
This year to last year, there's something going on. And again, we don't want to really focus it on Junkyard that much. But, you know, like I said, when Bates is much improved. He has a smoother shot. He's always played defense and whatnot, so he's the player that he is. When he comes back, things will be helped out a little bit, but it shouldn't be this drastically off though.
No, especially with Al.
And that's my problem. I'm like, okay, Al, you can hit the three, okay, cool and all, and like that one inbounds play the other night. I think it was with Sacramento, I guess. That was one of the best out of bounds play I've seen in a long time. Okay,
yeah,
and he hit it. Okay. But he can't just be I don't need him shooting 7 3-pointers a night. I just don't need to see that.
That cannot be his bread and butter.
two or three
cannot
cool
be his
with,
bread
but,
and butter.
But 7-8,
yeah.
I'm not comfortable with that right now, because
hey,
those
I'm
are extra
either.
Possessions, you know, that we can't get. So man, I don't know. What are your final thoughts on the Hawks as far as, I mean, again, it's still early, but again, there's so many things going on. It's worrisome. So what do you think? Is there anything you think can fix it hurriedly, or do you think we're just going to have to wait it out and see what happens in the playoffs?
I think he needs to tweak that lineup. I really do. I think he, like you said, I think he needs to bring Kyle off the bench, and he definitely needs to bring in Tim Hardaway Jr. Get that boy some playing time and bring in Tavares. We need to get some rebound. I mean, even, like you just said, even if you don't get the rebound, even if you don't block the shot, just his presence in the area will create a diversion for them people coming in that lane. And that's what I would do. I would tweak that rotation. I really would.
Well, again, Thiago ain't playing tomorrow. Baze is out tomorrow.
Nope.
There's somebody else out, I think. I thought. Baze, Thiago, and Jeff is coming off that injury, that ankle again. So, you know, wherever his time is going to be shorter. So, do you at the end of the day, do you think THJ and ED play?
Do I think they do? I really don't.
Yeah.
I hope they do, but I don't believe not the way he's been doing. I really don't.
That's what I say. I was like, Mike Scott better be ready for his minutes at center tomorrow. So,
man. Good talking to you, man.
You too. I appreciate it. One last thought. What do you think about Coach Bud and that $25,000 fine?
I don't even think he's just – you know what? I think it was excessive because, first of all, Bud was on the court, but the dude was backing up.
Yeah.
He backed into him. You know, they said the referees association was ticked off, talking about they should have been suspended. Well, if they're going to look at stuff like that, they need to look at these biased calls we get. So,
yeah.
I think it was a little excessive. If anything, okay, getting five, maybe 10 or $25,000 for him, man. You know it wasn't intentional.
Yeah.
So.
Especially from Bud. Plus, you know, it wasn't like it was somebody else that we know. But
right. Yeah, right. No, right.
But I appreciate
but,
it, George, for you calling in. I appreciate the support. And definitely the points that you brought up, definitely valid. Can't wait to have you on the show again.
All right, man. Appreciate it, man. Hope to see you in Atlanta soon.
All right, man. Oh, I'll be up there. Don't worry. I'll let y'all know every time I'm up there. So I'll be sure to put it on the Facebook page.
All right, man. Appreciate you. Take care.
All right, man. Peace.
Later.
All right, everyone, that was Mr. George Clark out of ATL. He's also one of the members of the Facebook fan page of the Atlanta Hawks Nation. Shout out again to Carlos and the admins who run that page. And definitely try to, you know, concentrate on them mostly when I do my show. But I am expanding to a lot of different areas and whatnot. So be looking out for some guests in the near future. Again, I almost let it slip out the other day. But be looking out for that. But, again, the Atlanta Hawks, the Atlanta Falcons, we're going through some issues. But as fans, again, we're looking for the effort, you know, consistency. All the other teams out there that have been very successful, they have that. And for whatever reason, for decades, the Hawks and the Falcons have not had that. And that's all we really want. You know, I think we deserve it. We've hung on all these years to watch the Hawks almost make it to the NBA Finals. I think it's worth it, right? And with the Falcons, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with Maddie. but I think we deserve to just to see what the possibilities are. But we also deserve to know stuff. I mean, of course, the coaches are not going to give all the little secrets away and stuff like that. But doggone it. When a person has not played the whole season and you traded a first-round draft pick for them and that draft pick is obviously good, obviously going to be good, I'm sorry. We need an answer on that one. And then we got a tall person who actually can play because we've seen him play. We've seen him overseas. We've seen him in we've seen him in training camp, summer league, and then in D League. He killed it. I don't care what people say about the D League. D League has had people like Hassan Whiteside come from there and be dominant. And then oh gosh, what's his name? The point guard that took Chalmers' job from Miami. That boy can ball, D-League. I don't want to hear all this stuff about the D-League ain't that. There's a lot of people who wish they could be in the D-League right now and getting paid. Please. The dude can play. If he can't play, why is he signed? Period. I'd rather him not have came over here if he wasn't ever going to play. That's just my opinion. If you got one, you can call in 646-652-4479. Now we're going to talk a little bit more Falcons in the next segment, but we're going to take another break. It's Black Friday coming up, Cyber Monday, the week after that, Monday, I guess. Well, of course it's Monday, Cyber Monday, duh. There are people out there that are going to be trying to finish out the year, and these are people who are young. They're trying to do stuff that's in entertainment. They're trying to get into movies and television shows and magazines and all this kind of stuff. They're trying to model, but they don't have anything to prove that they can do it. They don't have a headshot. They don't have a resume. They don't have a biography. They don't have a portfolio. They don't have reels. They don't have anything. So if you know someone like that and they keep racking their brain, how come they're not getting booked for anything? How come they're not getting invited to an audition? Okay, they don't know what they are doing when they're looking at a contract. They need to visit www.imtmworldwide.com. That's two M's, M as in Mary, imtmworldwide.com. When you go to that site, you're going to click on iSchool and check out all the things that are provided within that page to say, here's what you need, this is how you get it. Okay, I'm also doing a tour. Hopefully, maybe starting this year, for those who are trying to get what they need. It's called Industry Connections, okay? And in Industry Connections, I bring everybody to the table that you need to work with directly to get the things that you need now and not waiting for them forever. You can only use iPhone 5 pictures so long and keep claiming that you're a model. It don't work like that. You have to get serious eventually. So what I do is give you a photo shoot. I write an article for you. I write your resume up for you. I write a bio about you. I put it into an article. I do an interview of you on my radio show so that way people can know who you are directly and start building your fan base. Okay? I give you some of my personal time, and I submit you to an opportunity. If you're a musician or an artist, I do the same things. Okay? But what I do on that end is I help you with a booking at a venue. Okay, if you're an actor or actress, I help you with a submission to an acting opportunity. Okay, and I help you go through the process that first time. Okay, I do all that for $500. But since it's Black Friday, I'm going to take a little bit off. But you got to call 305-204-1826 to find out what the discount is. That's the trick. Okay, so check it out. Go to my website, www.imtmworldwide.com. There is an article about Industry Connections on the website. I actually have a podcast about it, too, on my radio station. Go to blogtalkradio.com/IMTM Worldwide, and you can check that out there. So that being said, I'm going to go ahead and take a little bit of a break. I'm going to get me a beverage to sip on, and I will be right back. If you're listening online, I do appreciate it, wherever you might be listening. Again, there's a lot of people who are at work right now. They shouldn't be at work, but they're at work. And since they're at work, they get to listen to the show online. Let me check the chat room. That's my fault again. I'm sorry, folks. Let me type a little message. Say, sorry, I wasn't checking the chat room. Sorry. All right, so I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. This is Chris, IMTM Worldwide Radio. Let's see what we're going to play here. Let's play one of my songs. Here we go. This is Chris, and this is Competition.
Hello?
Chris, where are you at?
I'm in a bed asleep. Why?
Chris, you're supposed to be at the studio. Flick is looking for you.
What time is it?
5:00.
Oh, man.
Chris, you have to do better than this. Don't you know all this competition that's out here? It's all about the competition. It's all about the competition.
As you can see, I'm not at home being lazy and idle. Instead, I'm writing rhymes. You are hearing poet recitals, creating thoughts in your mind. Remind you of Bible, 10 commandments, 10 plagues, even Samson Delilah. Besides that, establishing myself in this game. Not concerned about the chips, whips, tricks, or the fame. But if it comes, so be it. You won't hear me complain. Just as long as you don't ever, ever forget my name. INTELLEGT, representing ATL and the Fountain City. I had the microphone in my hand for the 96. Now my calendar is full on the a regular head check. You better believe I feel the need to prove myself. You got to beat me above nobody else. I place myself, but if it gets down to it, I will be the lighter and you can be the fluid. He's on fire. I'm in the game like EA. Won't be bowing down as if I was your sensei to anyone. That's the answer to the question. Will he be like everyone else? I won't keep you guessing. To be unique, that's the essence of my mission. That is why it's all about the competition. Competition, 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 you know I got you wishing. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, you know I got you wishing. Gun in my hand, finger on the trigger. Looking you dead in the eye, courage getting bigger. Looking at you sweat, you thinking will he do it? Mirror, mirror on the wall, can I let me prove it? Whoa, let me step back, that sounded kind of violent. That's not the type I am. Some may call me silent, even quiet, but definitely not wired. Earth, this ain't the Wild Wild West. Not if I was Captain Kirk. It's the remix, part two of competition. Microphone, my weapon of choice. Please don't get it twisted. If you miss it, turn on the television. To enter 1079, get the agency late edition. Forgotten my name, let me tell you how it's spelled. INTEWECT. Hit me on my email. Yeah. ATL is where I dwell. Don't be forgetting that when it's time for records to sell. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, you know I got you wishing. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, you know I got you wishing.
INTEWECT, representing ATL and the Fountain City. I have the microphone in my hand right now. It is time for me to show you how I get down. Been a long time coming, much anticipated. 10 years in the making, very complicated. For all of you who are listening to this particular track, out of live radio MP3, play it back. In regards to my intro, if you ask who this be, 1994 grad Kendrick Cherokee. If you need more specifics, then wait until it's over. Better yet, buy it, read the album cover. Either way, I believe you will be satisfied with what I say. My lyrics different, this I cannot lie. I have the opportunity to get into this game. Now press rewind a couple of times so you don't forget my name. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, you know I got you wishing. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, it's all about the competition. Competition, you know I got you wishing.
IMTN Worldwide Radio. I forgot how long my song is. Isn't that terrible? The last 15 minutes of this segment of tonight's show, of course, the show tonight was geared towards the Atlanta Falcons and Atlanta Hawks, and we've had some great callers earlier in the evening. Sandra, give a big shout-out to her. She concentrated on the Hawks, as did Mr. George Clark. But I don't want to leave the Falcons out. And a slight little note, UGA, yeah, they won, but they almost got beat by Georgia Southern. And that's not good. Rick needs to get out of there. All right, so on the Atlanta Falcons, as everyone knows, we've had some issues, okay? And Sandra actually mentioned it earlier. She mentioned the offensive coordinator, but I do put a lot of the blame right now on the current play, the current state of affairs on Mr. Matt Ryan. I'm sorry. But at a certain point, we can't be blinded by what is obvious on the field, okay? And again, yeah, okay, everybody has a slump. However, even when the elite guys have slumps, they're not slumps that makes them lose games necessarily. They figure out a way to not lose the game still. Matt somehow finds out a way to lose the game, and we're losing, okay? And so, again, if it's a matter of, you know, okay, let's say if it's the offensive coordinator, as Matt Ryan, he doesn't have carte blanche to say, you know what, this can't keep going on like this. This is not best for me and the team. When we run it this way, we score points. When we run it that way, we don't score points. Why can't it be that simple? Quinn is coming in as a new coach. Matt Ryan should have some kind of leeway on that. Where is Arthur Blank on this? Because it should be obvious to him, too. You know, he's been watching these games, too, right? And he had Mike Vick, right? They catered to Mike, right? And we won games. So all I'm saying is, oh, and Mike beat Green Bay and Green Bay in the playoffs, which hardly ever happens. So all I'm saying is, at a certain point, you got to cater to the guy who has gotten you there and got you all those wins and gotten to the playoffs all those times when they did make the playoffs and whatnot and looking good and not a laughing stock in the league anymore, don't you think? 646-652-4479. But I want to talk about all the aspects, of course, with what's going on. Again, the offensive line, you know, they pieced it together to where they actually have a run game, okay, when the running back is healthy. You know, and they protected Matt enough to get the ball to people, but Matt keeps throwing it to other people, unfortunately. Okay. The defense, I mean, shoot, even the pass defense has gotten better. Never thought I'd say that. But the defense overall, of course, is much better. They are not bottom feeders. It's not the defense's fault. The one thing I will say about the defense, we still can't touch the quarterback. The quarterback right now is able to make sausage, eggs, and pancakes. And then throw the ball. It's not cool anymore. Vic Beasley, he ain't the guy. He just isn't. I don't even think if he gained weight, he'd actually be the guy. But for the fact that he's coming in so undersized at that position that they're trying to play him at, because he did it in college, come on. That's a whole other thing in itself. I don't even really want to concentrate on that. I really want to talk about Mr. Shanahan. But I just got to throw that out there. We got to start sacking the quarterback. And before everybody says, well, Corey Beamer sacked the quarterback. That was because of a mistake. And they even said it on air at the time. He was out of position. He wasn't where he was supposed to be when the ball was snapped. And so when the ball was snapped and everybody do what they were supposed to do, yeah, there happened to be a hole and he ran and he got the guy. That's basically how that happened. Okay? I'm sorry, Corey. You've been, you know, it is what it is. Corey actually had a decent season this year. But on that particular play, he went where he was supposed to and he got lucky. Sorry. But at the end of the day, we have no pass rush. We have nothing coming up the middle. We don't blitz. And when we do blitz, it don't matter. We have no pass rush. Okay? And as much as I get on Alford, you know, they've been playing pretty decent back there. Okay? Not getting gashed. And, again, the run defense is top 10 in the league. And that's what you need. You got to have a run defense of some sort. Okay? Because without the run, you can't, you know, well, unless you're in New England. Sorry, people. So my thing is right now is the play calling. The play calling has to stop being stupid. I'm sorry. That's what it is. It's stupid. You can't, and Sandra mentioned this earlier, you can't do 21 points in the first half and then all of a sudden revert back to junk that don't work and then don't score and then expect to be successful, even against bad teams. We should not have been beaten by a 40-year-old quarterback. I don't care how good Matt Hasselbeck is. Shouldn't have lost to him. I'm sorry. We have Julio Jones. We have Roddy White, which they finally started throwing to. And you see, that's why I'm mad. Because now, if it was just a matter of the humdrum of us cussing and cussing and cussing and cussing, why Roddy ain't getting the ball, and all of a sudden they make this big to-do about throwing them the ball in the first couple of series, why couldn't they have been doing that since week three? So we just gave up 4 weeks for nothing? See, that's what makes – see, it's stuff like that. That, again, I'm not the only one who sees this type of stuff. This is the NFL. There's only 16 games. You can't just be giving up games, experimenting. In the NBA, you can kind of get away with it a little bit because you got eight teams that can go to the playoffs. But in the NFL, it's only 16 games. And even with the conference as it is, Dallas might roll off 9 wins in a row for real, or however many, what, 7 in a row? They're 3-7 now? 4? What do they got with? 6-4-6, 6-5-2, 4-4-7, 9, if you know. But Dallas could really actually end up 9-7. Falcons have 4 losses. That's only 3 losses away. Tampa Bay can catch them. You see what I'm saying? I mean, we got to look at it from, you know, heck, New Orleans can still get hot. You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on, Green Bay is it? I mean, you got all these teams. Right now we're still in the wild card just by the skin of a pinky toe. But how long will that last? This is getting nitty gritty right here. You see what I'm saying? So, again, between Kyle Shanahan, Matt Ryan throwing interceptions. Oh, 646-652-4479 is the number. And made me check the chat room. But, I was going to say, we also don't have a kickoff return game either. How many times is Weems going to just fair catch it? And then keep getting pinned back. Again, I know it's early. It's not early anymore. It's the halfway point of the season now. We're 6 in the playoffs in our conference. I feel that you're going to have to be 10-6 to make sure you get in. Okay, which means technically we don't need to lose another game. I'm sorry. That's just how I feel about it right now. Okay? Because you still got your division winner out of the NFC East. Okay? Whoever that's going to be. Right? You got your division winner out of the North, right? And in the West, right? We're not going to win this division. That's for doggone sure at this point, unless Carolina just has the most amazing collapse of all doggone freaking time. I just don't see it. They're not playing it. I don't see no signs of that. We got to go at least 10-6 to get into the playoffs. Really, maybe to make sure, go 11-5, which means you got one more game you can lose, which means we have to go on a winning streak. And it means we have to at least split with Carolina. We can't get swept by Carolina and think we're going to make the playoffs this year. It's not going to happen. That's just my feeling. But just from what I'm seeing so far, so I had to make sure stuff didn't turn off on me. From what I'm seeing so far, I mean, right now, I don't see how we beat Minnesota. But we gave up the game against – and here's the other thing. This is at the Dome. We have no home field advantage anymore. I mean, it's just so comical now to think about what it used to be and what it is now. Rise up, man. Now I'm just thinking about these things. It's making me mad because, again, when you try to make sure that you can watch the game, you schedule yourself. If you can't be there, you're watching it on TV and you're seeing what's happening live in front of you and you can't do nothing about it, it's frustrating to see that the game was won and was done, and then all of a sudden here's an interception, touchdown. You know, and then you can't stop them from kicking the field goal to win the game. It's unnerving. Even Matt Bryant right now, I mean, we got to get a new field goal kicker. Matt's missing field goals left and right. He ain't automatic. Get Morton Anderson back out there. Seriously, where is Morton Anderson when you need him? 646-652-4479. I can't believe I threw out Morton Anderson and a Pero Antich reference in the same night on the same show. That's crazy. The Atlanta Falcons, the Atlanta Hawks. And here's the deal. We are all fans. Anyone who's listening to this, we're fans of whatever team we're a fan of. If you're not a fan of the Atlanta Hawks or Atlanta Falcons or Atlanta Braves or whatnot, maybe you're a fan of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Maybe you're a fan of the Los Angeles Lakers, who are just having a time right now. Fans have the right to be disappointed when their team don't play well. Okay? That's part of it. You're a fan through and through. You're a fan when you're born. You're a fan until you're not here no more. The whole goal, the whole thing about being a fan is that there's a goal to hopefully see your team win it all. That's the excitement of sports and the competition part of it. And again, how long have Cub fans been Cub fans and they've never won a World Series? Think about that. Okay, at least the Braves have won a World Series. At least the Falcons have been to, you know, the Super Bowl. Yay, right? So But to not compete at all, that's a different story. Okay, when you can see a team quitting, that's evil as far as I'm concerned. You should never see it to where a team just don't want to be there. You're getting paid for one thing, and you got people watching you, another. So how can you be on the court and then be like, well, I don't want to play? That don't even sound right. So at a certain point, something needs to be said about that part of it, because that's what I see more than anything right now. Okay? So hopefully we'll see a change. You know, tomorrow night playing the Celtics, we're not going to have Baze, we're not going to have Tiago. Jeff is still kind of, you know, Bud's getting fined $25,000. Who's going to step it up? Who's going to be that man to say, you know what, we got to quit fooling around and start playing for real? Who is it going to be? I need to see that. I don't know what the action is going to have to be to prove it to us that they care. Because right now, I don't think a lot of people care on the Hawks squad right now. Okay, I'm talking to Hawks again. I just need to see it. And more than anything, if we're not going to get a reason why people ain't playing, then play them. And then prove to us that they suck. And then we won't talk about it no more. But until then, we have to think that they have value because they're on the bench. They're there. Because we know Mike Scott can play. We know Moose can play. We know Holiday can play. We know Shelvin can play. Right? Everybody on our bench can play basketball. The only ones we don't know right now is THJ and Edie. They need to play. Especially when we're getting out-rebounded by 15, 20 boards a night. It's inexcusable now to not have them in there for at least 15 minutes and change something. So the last minute of the show, I want to appreciate everybody calling in, everyone who's listened on the show. I know some of y'all are working late, so y'all weren't able to call in, but I do appreciate y'all's time, especially the people who live in overseas and definitely ain't calling in. As soon as I figure out a way to do that, I will let y'all know. Next show will be soon. But until then, we'll be looking for the Hawks to play well. We'll be looking for the Falcons to have a bounce-back game. Again, it's Black Friday, so definitely support your small businesses. Definitely support me, both my companies, Innovative Enterprises and Innovative Model and Talent Management. Visit the websites, www.mworldwide.com, that's M as in Mary, and innovativeenterprises.com, that's one E in the middle, not two, innovativeenterprises.com. And you can also call the business line 305-204-1826. Until next time, that is Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio. I will talk to y'all soon. Y'all take care. We'll be right back.